The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Well, I've been looking forward to this next segment for a while. John and Trish Lindsay are just back from a long time in Australia, a place I've always wanted to visit. John is here now. Trish is hovering in the background, but we're going to focus on John. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David. Good afternoon, Craig. And good afternoon, Trish.
Yeah. She doesn't want to talk.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. And later this hour, Lisa, the travel girl, is going to check in because she helped you plan Australia. So, John, the obvious question, why Australia?
Trish?
She's not going to talk.
It's always been her dream to go to Australia. Right. And and we were able to make that dream come true. And it's a marvelous place, wondrous place. I'm really thankful that I went there.
Had you been in that region before? Because you've been all over the world with the Navy.
The closest I've been to Australia was Dale Garcia, and I guess would be Thailand would be Phuket. Phuket and Dale Garcia was the closest I've ever been to Australia.
So that's not really that close.
Yeah. Mm.
How does one prepare for a trip to Australia?
Oh, geez. Well, number one, you got to have a passport. And number two, you got to do ETA, which is a visa, basically. And you do it electronically, and they ask you a whole slew of questions. And then once that's cleared, you're set to go. You got to get a plane ticket, of course. And
But I mean, deciding where you want to go, what you want to do.
You know, Lisa, Trish wanted to go see critters. She really, really wanted to go see creatures. Yeah. And so that's what really played a big part in this trip is seeing kangaroos and, you know, devils and, I mean, everything. The more, the better. Koalas and joeys. It was all great.
I guess what I'm asking is, how long ago did you decide to do this? How long had this been in the planning?
I think about a year and a half or so.
So a long time.
Pretty long time, and it came up before we knew it.
Doing a lot of research?
A fair amount, but Lisa was really able to drive, let us know where we should go, and yeah, we had a blast.
So she was making suggestions as to what you could do.
Yeah, she actually gave us a schedule, and we looked at the schedule and looked at all the different things, and they all looked good to us, Dave, so we went for it.
So you went middle and end of March, early April, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a good time to go?
It was a great time to go, yeah.
How was your weather?
Weather was beautiful. It was gorgeous. Sydney, apparently, you know, their seasons are reverse. And so Sydney gets a lot of humidity, a lot of heat during their summer. And, of course, we're in the early fall, so it was wonderful. Yeah, the weather there was great. So, and also it's kind of off tourist season, so there weren't that many people. So both of those aspects, the weather and not having so many tourists.
So when do you not want to go to Australia? What time of year?
Well, it would be our winter or their summer. That's when they
because
have
so hot.
I think
or crowded.
I think it's more crowded, and areas of Australia are more warmer than you'd probably feel really comfortable with.
I'm afraid to ask this, how long was the plane flight?
About going there, we rented a car to get down to LAX because we didn't want to pay for overnight parking for 20 days or whatever, 21 days, however long. So we rented a car from Avis out of the Slo airport, and we just drove it down the LA airport to the Avis station. They took it right away. And we just took the little shuttle bus from where return all your rental cars over to the terminal. And, it was about a 15-hour flight from LAX to Sydney.
15 hours.
About 15 hours in an aluminum tube, which is a pretty long time. And then the flight back out of Melbourne, even though Melbourne is further away, it was a little bit shorter. It was about 14 hours.
So you crossed the date line.
We crossed the date line and also crossed the equator. So it's a lot of ocean. You know, there's a great photograph of Earth with that presentation where you see North America way up in the northeastern corner and you see New Zealand in the southwestern corner, and everything else is this all water, because you know, about 72% of the Earth's surface is water. So when you're flying, it's across the ocean. The Pacific Ocean is immense in size, especially when you go from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere and you cross the date line. Yeah, it's a lot of miles traveled, Dave.
So tell me that I want to go to Sydney, that it's a great town.
It's absolutely gorgeous. I was surprised by how prosperous it was. We were walking around. I don't think we saw one for lease sign. Extraordinarily clean and safe. I mean, they had a terrible shooting, I think, a few weeks ago in Baja Beach, which was horrible. But Trish and I, we walked everywhere, and we felt totally safe. The botanical gardens were amazing, the Harbor Bridge, the Opera Center. We went to the Blue Mountains. I can't speak highly enough how clean it was, how safe it was, and how prosperous it is.
But how expensive is it?
You know, that when you get there, you look at the food prices in the restaurants, and it's kind of shocking until you realize that the Australian dollar is basically, it's 1.5 Australian dollars for every U.S. dollar. So when you use your credit card, they do the all automatic conversion and exchange. Right. So prices are pretty similar to what they are in California, I would say, overall.
Did you have a favorite part of Sydney?
For me, it was Manly Beach. That was my favorite part. And we walked over on a little footpath to Sherry Beach, and that area was just gorgeous. Then we went to a restaurant called Icebergs, which was really impressive. I mean, that restaurant was out of this world. And the tour guides, one tour guide was Grant, and he showed us all around Sydney, which was really cool. And then Charlie took us up to the Blue Mountains. And we stopped at a couple of zoos on the way there.
How far is it from Sydney to the Blue Mountains?
It was about a 3-hour drive, I believe, roughly. Mm. Yeah. The Blue Mountains are absolutely gorgeous.
I want to hear more about that. John Lindsay on this broadcast, just back from multiple weeks touring Australia. I want the details. That's what we're doing. We'll come back and continue the conversation here on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. If you're just joining us, John Lindsay is nice enough to come in and share his recent trip to Australia. As we continue with John, let's bring in Lisa, the travel girl. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. You guys have been doing some big-time traveling in the last month.
So thanks to you, they were able to enjoy Australia. So what was your role in all this, Lisa?
Well, I was instrumental in getting all his tours together, his transfers to him from the airport.
Yeah.
I made sure he had travel insurance. He was very, very, very smart in getting that, because he was making such a big investment with this trip that I wanted him to be covered and, you know, have a, you know, peace of mind when he was traveling.
Yep.
So he had travel insurance, tours, transfers, hotels, you know, experiences. Unfortunately, a couple of them he couldn't do because of the weather, right, John?
Yeah. But you're right, though, Lisa. It was great. There was always a guy waiting for us as soon as we got off the airplane. There was a guy ready to take us to our hotel.
Well, but what I'm curious about, Lisa, is Are you coming up with a list of suggested things for them to do, or are John and Trish telling you what they want to do? How'd that work?
Both. Your wife wanted to see all kinds of cute little animals, correct?
Correct.
Didn't you want to go to the Great Barrier Reef?
Exactly.
Yeah, they kind of give me an idea. When somebody consults with me, I'll ask them what their budget is, because that's always the bottom line, and what they want to do. Are they, do they want to have constant things booked, or do they want to have equal free time and experiences, that kind of thing. I ask them what they want to do, and then I'll suggest things, and then I work with a really good supplier. Kensington Tours is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a girl that specializes in Australia, so that helped.
Yep. And everything was on time. I mean, all the tours started. There was a gentleman. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. These guys who drive you around, like from the airport to the hotel. Mm-hmm. We just had a blast talking with all of them.
They're locals usually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All their stories and how they got doing what they were doing, and it was really fascinating.
Yeah, because you get to really blend in with the people, and that's what you want. When you go to a place, you want to really blend in with the culture.
Yep.
And you really want to, you want to eat where they eat. You want to see what they see. And just talking to them, about their daily lives and how they got to where they are. And that's some of the most fascinating parts about travel.
Remind me, Lisa, have you been to Australia?
No, I have not.
What's the demand like? Is Australia a popular tourist destination? Are you sending a lot of people there?
Yes, it's very popular. It's not as popular as Europe and Asia, mm-hmm. but it is. More people, since the pandemic, are taking these dream trips. They're taking these bucket list trips. Because I think they realize life is short. You never know what's going to happen.
Yep.
So, Australia is a bucket list trip. It's a big investment. It's a long way to get there, right, John?
It's a long haul. It's a lot of time to spend in an aluminum tube, Lisa, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's just being somewhere that's just so that most people never get to see, and you just feel so lucky to be there.
Yeah.
It's just it's a different world. It's a different Even though they're very modern and everything, it's still a different culture and a different lifestyle.
Was that your experience,
John? Just to
be able
to experience it.
Was it that different for you?
It was, but I was, like, when Trish and I would turn on the television, and we were kind of surprised that, Good Morning America? Or, the whole, they get a lot of our shows in Australia. They watch a lot of our news shows in Australia. And I was surprised by that. So everybody we spoke to really knew almost more what was going on in the United States than we did half the time. Mm. So they really pay close attention to what's going on in the United States.
So, Lisa, why don't I just buy a ticket and fly to Sydney and discover the country on my own? Why do I need you to set up all these tours for me?
Because do you want to get to the airport and how to figure out how to get a cab or the train to get to your hotel? Do you want to figure out what to do when you get there? And suppose something goes wrong, then what? You're screwed. Like John, two of his tours did not go because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to get a refund. If you're doing it on your own, you're not getting anything. You know what I mean? It's just, then you have to go through all the trouble of trying to get the refund. I just sent an email. They know that it didn't go through. So they said, no problem, we're going to refund him. And he'll get his refund, within the next month.
It makes it kind of a worry-free experience. I had all the confidence in the world. I mean, the plane tickets were always set to go. The drivers were already there waiting for us. It was a piece of cake. I never felt so comfortable flying around, right? It was great. Never had any worries.
You're in a foreign country.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong, you had all kinds of phone numbers to call.
Yeah.
And while you were when you were traveling, I was tracking your flights. Because if your flights were going to be late, I was going to get in touch with the drivers to tell them to.
Yep.
They monitor your flights anyway. But I do as well, only because I don't want you to get the driver thinking you're not getting there and they leave. Yep. You don't want them to know your flight's going to be an hour late or, whatever.
Yeah. It was a lot of worry. taken out of the whole travel experience. So you could really enjoy the country and not worry about the logistics.
John, what was the highlight of Australia for you?
I would say Ulaloi.
What is that?
Ayers Rock. Okay. And going with Sammy Wilson, who's the chief of the community there, of the indigenous people. And, you know, we drove with Sammy and Trish and I and two other tour guides, by the way. They were there checking it out, more or less. And we must have drove for 5 hours in indigenous lands, and we never saw another car or another person.
That must be amazing. So, Lisa, when people want to go to Australia, what is it that they're looking for? Do they all want to go to Sydney and Ayers Rock and Fort Douglas, or does it vary?
The Great Barrier Reef. Barrier Reef, 100% Sydney, Melbourne. Mostly city. They want to see the opera house. They want to do the basic things. They want to see kangaroos. They want to see koala bears. They want to see the opera house. They want to go to the Great Barrier Reef and snorkel. They want to go to Ayers Rock.
Yep.
That kind of thing, yes. Western Australia is not as popular. Like Perth, that's not as popular.
Yeah. I was going to say, Lisa, you know, a lot of Australians, that is their goal, is to go to Ayers Rock. I was surprised there were so many Australians.
It's in the middle of nowhere, right?
It's in the middle, right smack in the middle of the country. And I was just so surprised that most of the tourists there were Australians. They always wanted to go there and haven't been.
Well, it's funny because people don't realize how big Australia is. It is as big as the United States. People think it's just like a small country like Italy or whatever. But no, it's huge. It's huge. And to fly from one end to the other, it's like 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
Like here.
Yep.
And it's mostly, what do they call the interior?
Outback,
and most of it's the outback.
Yeah, it's well. Mm-hmm. Put it this way,
your cities.
Yeah, Australia's got a population of 27 million people. California's about 35 million people, but it covers the same real estate as the lower 48, basically.
So, Lisa, if people are working with you, other travel agents, how far in advance should they be booking a trip to Australia?
As far as out as you can. It's best to book far in advance, only because then you can, it's easier, because usually when you book a trip, you just have to put a deposit down. And then you can just, you know, you can save, or you can send us a little bit of money at a time, whatever works for you. Generally, like, your final payment will be due about 45 days before you go. But you know what, if somebody called me tomorrow and said, I want to go next month, I would make it happen.
Oh, how do people find you, Lisa?
LisaTheTravelGirl@gmail.com. One of your listeners called me about a safari, so I'm working on that for her.
Ah,
Lisa.
In South Africa.
Yeah. LisaTheTravelGirl@gmail.com.
Yep.
Right, so a safari.
Or they can call you and you'll tell them.
A safari. Hmm.
Yeah, an African safari. And gorilla trekking. That's becoming very hot right now, to go gorilla trekking. You can either do that in Rwanda or in Uganda.
Wow.
And you have to pay a hefty fee to even get into the park to go gorilla trekking.
Do they guarantee that you'll have an encounter with a gorilla?
I think so. Yeah. They know what they're doing. They're so well, that it's so well oiled and so well organized. Yeah.
All right. So LisaTheTravelGirl@gmail.com to talk to Lisa if you need assistance in traveling. Lisa, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
My pleasure. You guys have a great weekend. And John, I'm so happy that you had a great time. That made my day when you sent me all your pictures.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it was Trish's dream to go there. It was my dream, too. And Trish just had a wonderful time.
Yeah. She's nodding in agreement.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa, thank you. The website is, or the email is LisaTheTravelGirl@gmail.com. Off we go. We got news and traffic and weather. Let's go to Ayers Rock and some of these other places around Australia during the second half of our conversation. I'm Dave Congleton. Happy Friday. Glad to have you with us on Hometown Radio. John Lindsay is here. Trish is here, too, but we're letting her hide. She's in John's pouch, a little kangaroo metaphor there. They're just back from multiple weeks in Australia. Lisa, the travel girl, helped them set it up. Sounds like a fantastic time. I want to hear about Ayers Rock. What exactly is Ayers Rock?
Well, way back when, during the sea level was much higher. In fact, most of Australia was underneath water. And Ayers Rock is a formation that was literally underneath the seafloor. And when the seas receded, the erosion actually it exposed this large rock. And here it is today. It's red because there's a lot of iron in that region of the outback. And it's kind of a magical spot for many people. It's a spiritual spot.
Is that why so many people want to go there?
I believe so. But there's you know, drawings that date back, I believe, 35,000 years ago. So it's one of the most ancient civilizations on the face of the earth.
But you're not allowed to walk on the rock itself.
No, what they did was during COVID, they stopped all going to the top of the rock. And the community there, they feel, you know, it was really tourists who went on top of that rock, who hiked on top of the rock. The indigenous people always felt that it wasn't right to go on top of the rock, so they never hiked up there. And what was occurring was, you know, there were people would take their cameras and their batteries, and they would swap out the batteries and leave the old batteries on the trail going up over the rock, and a lot of other garbage and a lot of other stuff. And so during COVID, they just closed the trail down. They never reopened it. So, yeah, so today nobody goes on top
so
of the rock.
So what do you do there?
You're on top of the rock?
No, what do you do at Ayers Rock? You're in the middle of nowhere, and there's this big rock. I don't mean to be, but it's like, okay, here's this big rock. What do you do? What do you do when you go there?
Yeah, so Sammy took us on this voyage, I would say, and he showed us everything. Like, for instance, bush tomatoes. I had no idea about bush tomatoes. And he showed us a mortar and a pedestal of where his ancestors had used it to basically take the equivalent of kind of like acorns and produce like a mill. And this thing was like, you know, people have probably been grinding here for about 40,000 years or so. And the countryside was just crazy beautiful day.
So you're just driving around the countryside.
Just driving around the countryside
and outback,
looking at the drawings that people had done, you know, tens of thousands of years ago.
Is there a place to stay at the rock? Can you stay there overnight?
Yeah, there's a whole resort with several hotels. And in fact, one of our favorite restaurants was called the Outback. Had nothing to do with the Outback here.
Right.
And you went there and you choose either chicken or fish or steak, whatever you wanted to grill, and you cooked your own meat, which I thought was really cool. And then they had all the sides that you got. I thought that was like one of our best meals anywhere. And then the night before, we went to a dinner during the evening when the sun had set, and got a great lecture on astronomy, which was incredible because, you know,
you can see the sky, I would imagine.
Oh my gosh. And the Big Dipper is flipped, which is a whole different perspective. But the big deal, of course, is the Southern Cross, which is great. And I, you know, I forgot the name of that instrument, Trish, that they were playing.
The diddly-doo?
Yeah, that was really, really cool.
Didgeridoo.
Yeah, so they, great dinner. They spoke about their history and their culture, which we found, I found just fascinating.
So it was worth the effort to go to Ayers Rock.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What disappointed you about Australia?
Geez, I don't think anything. Only time I was disappointed is we took from Port Douglas. We took about a 3-hour boat ride out to Mackay Key, and it was rough, and you know some of the passengers got a little seasick, you know, on the boat trip, and I was kind of worried about them. But we did. We met a family whose daughter was in the United States Navy, and she was stationed in Australia. And the dad, Leonard, was just fascinating. He would go to different countries and absorb their language. He loved languages, and he gave us a really interesting brief on different languages. And his other daughter tried to get into the Navy, but she had dyslexia. But no worries, she's a freshman at Yale and majored in finance.
All right, that's lovely. But let's talk about Australia. On the Skullberg line, listener is asking, how big is Ayers Rock compared to, say, Morro Rock?
It's much bigger. Well, height, it's around 1,500 feet high. And
it seems to go on forever.
Yeah, it's pretty long. It's quite a bit larger than Morro Rock. Now, on the northwestern side of the rock, you're not allowed to take any photographs. It's a sacred area.
Who's there? It's Ayers Rock. Who's there?
Oh, that's the person who discovered that whole region. He was a European explorer. And that happened in 1873. And there's a picture I took of Sammy riding in the sand, 1873, because it changed everybody's life when that happened, without a doubt.
Why?
Well, the European settlers moved in, right? So, it changed everything.
John Lindsay here. Now, if only we could hear from Trish, I would love to know about encountering kangaroos and koala bears. And so maybe John will translate if.
I loved it.
Okay, but you got to come closer to the microphone. Hi, Trish. Well, this was your trip. Did you accomplish what you wanted?
I saw everything I wanted to see.
And was it up to your expectations?
Oh, yeah, above and beyond.
All right. So talk a little bit about encountering animals. What animals did you see? What was that like?
We saw all different kinds of kangaroos, different sizes. We saw koalas. We saw wombats.
Now, you saw them, but could you get close to them?
We
did you
could
have an
touch
encounter?
The kangaroos and pet them and feed them. And we were able to touch the koalas and take pictures with them.
What's your preference, a kangaroo or a koala bear?
Oh, I don't know. I liked them both. I had no preference. No. I liked everything there.
Were they friendly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came right up to you.
Yeah. My favorite was the wombat. That was my favorite.
What's a wombat?
It looks like, what's the equivalency in this country? It looks like a small bear. Maybe that's the best way to describe a wombat. Like a small bear.
Yeah, it's round.
Bear. Yeah.
And Trish, where did you go to encounter the animals? Was it a sanctuary?
We went to a couple animal parks.
And driving around, you'd see kangaroos all over the place. I mean, on the side of the road.
Really? I mean, so they're just hanging out everywhere. It's like bicycles in Amsterdam.
Well, we went to Phillips Island and near Melbourne to see the penguins coming ashore. And, there's a lot of different types of kangaroos. You know, the big reds, the grays. And then you get down to the smaller and smaller kangaroos, and it was great. It was really interesting, Dave.
Yeah, there was something that was. It sounded like it was called a paddy melt. It was this tiny little kangaroo.
Paddy melt.
Yeah.
Do you know offhand how many different types of kangaroos there are? Because there are 18 different types of penguins. I would imagine there are multiple types of kangaroos.
Yeah, maybe one of your listeners could Google it and text call
in. Is your phone broken? What?
there's quite a few. So yeah.
So you can go to Australia and have encounters like with kangaroos and koala bears and wombats.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's well worth the time.
Yeah, and you know, if I was going to change anything, I'd probably go to Kangaroo Island maybe for another trip, or go to Tasmania would be, I think, a really cool spot.
So back up, you go to Kangaroo. I mean, just get off. Is there any development on the island, or is it just all kangaroos?
Never been there before, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I would like to go there. Apparently,
So you didn't get there?
Didn't get to Kangaroo Island, no.
So when the kangaroos that you did see outside the sanctuaries, they're just roaming around?
Roaming around, especially up in Port Douglas. From Cairns going up to Port Douglas, they're all in the fields. And that was, Queensland is really tropical, which is, it's kind of like the Caribbean. In fact, that's what it reminded me, especially Port Douglas reminded me of the Caribbean. And that was Tricia's favorite spot was Port Douglas, yeah.
Why did you like that so much?
Just because the way it felt and what we did.
She loved the restaurants there.
So you ate well?
Oh, yeah.
What's the food like in Australia?
I think it's wonderful. I mean, you can definitely tell.
A lot of steak, a lot of meat.
A lot of fish and chips, Dave.
A lot of fish and chips.
A lot, especially Port Douglas. Everything's seafood, pretty much. You see food, of course you want to eat it. No, but it's definitely an English twist. The breakfasts were much like you would find in London. Best way to describe it. But no, there was some wonderful Middle Eastern restaurants that we went to. A lot of fish and chips. Just a lot of, you know, we went to the Outback where you choose your own, you know, meat to prepare. Yeah, it was just, I thought the food was outstanding.
All right. Me too. It was really good.
Yeah.
More in conversation with John and Trish Lindsay, just back from Australia, sharing their adventures with us. And Lisa, the travel girl, can help you if you want to go to Australia. You can email her at lisathetravelgirl@gmail.com. Sure. Here is John in the Pomo on KVEC. Hi, John.
Hello, John.
Hello, Dave, and hello, John, and everybody.
Hi.
You know, you were talking about Australia, and we did go there a while back in the 80s. I'm sure things are different now, but the thing that I remember most is that flight over there was miserable. We went at night, and you know how it's all water, right?
Yeah.
Well, about 2 in the morning, I looked down, and there's a whole bunch of lights down there. And I go, oh, my gosh, you got on the wrong plane. Or we're going someplace we're not supposed to be, because flying over Fiji at something like 2 in the morning. Yeah. And lights right down there. It was a great, great experience. But yeah, I really do like Australia. It was great then. I don't know what it's like now. And
well, it sounds like it's still great based upon what they're saying.
It does. Thanks for having him on. I appreciate that.
Thanks for listening, John.
Hey, thank you, John.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back for a final segment right here on AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk KVEC. I got to get me to Australia. I've petted a moose,
yeah,
but I haven't been with a kangaroo. John Lindsay's here. Trish is back in the corner. I want to hear about Melbourne.
Yeah,
because I have a cousin there.
Oh, that's right.
Compare Melbourne to Sydney for me.
It's a little bit. You know, the populations are the same. There seems to be a big rivalry between Sydney and Melbourne. They all seem to be... I think people in Sydney don't think of Melbourne as much as Melbourne people there think of Sydney. I think for a lot of people, Sydney sort of lives rent-free in their heads, to be honest, right? So they're always ribbing each other, like who's got the best city. Melbourne was a little bit more urban. You know, we were in Sydney. We didn't see any homeless people, but we did see some homeless people in Melbourne. Not quite as clean as Sydney, but we still had just an awesome time. Really great time. Once again, very vibrant and prosperous economy. You know, I kind of wonder what the number one industry was in Australia. It was mining. That's their top job.
Mining.
Is mining minerals. That's their big thing, and exporting it, of course. A lot of ag, a lot of viticulture. The winery industry kind of got a big hit because China turned around and put some pretty big tariffs on the bottles of wine being exported to China, and that really hurt them quite a bit, that industry. But they grow everything there. I mean, kind of get a lot of farm-to-table produce restaurants, so maybe that's why the food is so delicious there.
I'm told that in Australia, you're reminded of the Central Coast a lot, the geography.
Oh, especially Melbourne area and Phillips Island really reminded us of Central California. It really did. And the pictures I took could have been from somewhere in Central California along the coastline. Yeah, very, very similar, I would say. Nice thing, if you're in the city core, all the trolleys are all free. You don't have to pay for anything. In Sydney, you had ferries going everywhere, and the most you would have to pay in one day was $18 Australian, so it'd probably be like $13 US. And that was just, what a deal that was.
Of course, yeah. One of the most iconic shots is the Opera House.
Yeah, and you go on the ferries, you go right past the Opera House.
Did you get
house.
To go inside?
You know, we got so busy, we went near it, and we kind of drove on a tour right by it, but we never did go inside it.
And what is, there's some kind of pedestrian bridge, footbridge?
Yeah, it's a really famous harbor bridge that connects the two parts of Sydney together. And if you make reservations, you could actually hike or walk to the top of this bridge. You got to go through a whole bunch of training and whatnot. But we didn't really. It takes a lot of time to do that, and we wanted to see other things like the Blue Mountains.
So Blue Mountains, Great Barrier Reef, Sydney, Melbourne, Ayers Rock, Fort Douglas.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Cairns. We kind of like Cairns. The rainforest. I mean, we took a big tour
of
the rainforest.
There. What's in the rainforest?
Well, got to be a lot of trees, David. But no, you take a. Our guide drove us all the way to the top of this mountain range. We stopped at a couple of wildlife sanctuaries. And then on the way down, we took this tram, which was like several miles long, and you're kind of flying on top of the rainforest. It makes a couple of stops, and there was a huge waterfall. In fact, they had tremendous amounts of rainfall in December that actually Port Douglas was cut off from Cairns. And people had to either take like a three-hour detour or take a boat to get home to Cairns. So it was still a lot of moisture, a lot of rain was still falling. And so consequently, these waterfalls were huge and massive.
Did they recover from their massive fires of a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Did you see signs of that?
Oh, totally recovered. But I think it was really interesting about that is they're working very closely with Cal Fire. And Cal Fire is working very closely with the firefighters in Australia, developing techniques and learning from doing managed burns and other ways to reduce the wildfire threat. So I thought that was really cool. And our guide, who writes for Cosmo magazine, PhD, such an interesting guy. We learned so much from him.
You were there 3 weeks?
About 3 weeks,
was that enough time, or do you wish you had more time?
Probably more time, Dave.
What would you have done if you had more time?
Go to Kangaroo Island and go to Tasmania, because we'd heard so much about so many wonderful things about Tasmania.
Why didn't you go?
We didn't know. Oh. I mean, 3 weeks is plenty of time, but when you get there and you go seeing different things, and they all say, "Oh, you should go to Kangaroo Island," or "You should go to Tasmania." But here's the thing: is it's a big country, right? As big as the lower 48. And it's nearly impossible in 3 weeks to see everything that you might want to see, like the West Coast. So what they do in Australia, a lot of retirees will sell their home and they'll buy a caravan. We call it an RV, but in Australia they call it a caravan. And they'll spend 1 to 2 years, and they just drive around the country going to different campsites and different areas. So if you're a retiree, that's what you do. You spend 1 to 2 years driving throughout the whole country on an RV. And so many people do that. I thought that was really amazing.
Would you do that?
That'd be kind of cool. I don't know.
I don't think Trish is going to go.
But that's out. The sell your house, get a caravan, and see Australia.
So you're
going to
go back,
years.
Or is this you just you've been there? It's done.
I don't know. We may go back one day.
When are you going to go to New Zealand? You got to go to New Zealand.
Yeah, everybody said you should go to New Zealand. That's definitely another high point. So yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big world, and there's so much to see. And yeah,
Trish, is there something you wish you would have brought that you didn't, or something that you brought that you're glad that you did, in terms of packing?
No, I packed everything I wanted to pack.
Mm. Sunscreen, but we packed
not about sunscreen.
Sunscreen. Yeah.
I packed everything.
John, how about you? Is there
no,
something you're
I
glad?
Think I think we were really prepared. Yeah. You know, the cool thing about Australia is you have all these different climates. Right? You have the tropics up in Queensland. You have the hot and dry desert in Ayers Rock, and then you have the Central California weather down at Melbourne. So you really have a lot of different climates to check. You know, another thing, too, in Melbourne, during the winter months or during their winter, they have some mountains that are close to 5,000 feet or so, and they have actually have snow excursions there that tour guides run when you go to Melbourne. You don't think of snow in Australia, but they do have snow there.
I guess you can do that in New Zealand. They have a lot of snow in the mountains in New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, 14, 15, 16,000 foot peaks in New Zealand. Yeah.
15 hours to fly there.
15 hours. It went by. We watched all the movies. I mean, we were watching movie after movie. I saw every movie that I wanted to see, pretty much.
Our thanks to John and Trish Lindsay for sharing with us some of their experiences. And just to take advantage of you, John, it sounds like we're going to get a little bit of rain tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Clear on Sunday.
I think the big news is I know it's unusual to get rain in May, but it's not that unusual. It's a very cold upper level low and a very fast moving cold front. And consequently, snow levels in our area will probably drop down to 4,500 feet. But if you go up to the Sierra Nevada, we're expecting snow levels at 3,500 feet and above, of course, with 8 to 12 inches of new snow. So Yosemite may promise to really give you some great photographic opportunities.
All right, folks, glad to have you back. Safe travels on your next trip, and just appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you, Dave, and thank you for always being here for all of us. Here
nice job, Trish. Thank nice you. Job. Her first time on the radio.
Yeah, she did great.
She did great. All right, off we go. We got news and traffic and weather. What's on your mind? Let's find out. Our Friday night open line is next.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.